If our children's experiment wasn't a sign enough, as we see here, today we are a house of bread. Now, before we explicitly know how and why, I want us to go back in our Bibles and look again at this story that we heard. Sometimes, especially in those Bible stories in church, we hear them, we gloss over them. Either they're too long or they're just too many weird names and we get bogged down. So, in your Bibles, you have a Bible in your pew. Let's get them back out. We'll dust them off again. And I'm going to read for you that Old Testament story, the very first one, in Exodus chapter 16. So we're going to learn how to find the books of the Bible. Guess what? It's the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And we'll see if you can make it a little bit easier for us with there's page numbers on our Bibles. Page 58, look at that. So today we're talking about the bread from heaven, Exodus chapter 16. And this is a fun story, one of my favorite stories from the Bible, because of what the people of God are doing here. If we look back one page, page 56, what did you see on the heading for chapter 14? Shout it out. The crossing of the Red Sea. What happened with that? The people of God had just been miraculously led out of Egypt when they were in slavery for 400 years. And this big shot Moses is commanded by God and called by God and equipped by God to lead them finally out of slavery back to where they first came from, back to Israel. And God is throwing miracle after miracle, just visibly showing his power and presence. And they cross through this sea on dry ground. And they find themselves out in the middle of the wilderness, in the desert. And it's hotter than it is in Wisconsin on an August day. And guess what? The wilderness don't have a whole lot to eat or drink. So what do we do? What did they do? They start to grumble louder than their bellies are grumbling. And they start to complain against Moses. They say this in verse 3, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots." What's a meat pot? That sounds weird. There's just a whole bunch of food. And then the meat pots, and we ate bread to the full. They were eating well, even on slavery, they would think, even if they were getting crumbs. Would we have died in Egypt when we were in slavery? But instead you brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Imagine that. God had just showed them what we all hope for, to see God in all his power, to actually do something visibly. They saw God doing all of his miracles. And not very far along after that, they said, "That's not enough. Give us something to eat, too, while you're at it." You ever do that? You ever find yourself that you have so much, but it's just not enough? You always want something else, right? We have a wonderful car. But it's not as cool as the guy next door. He's got a Tesla. Things runs on electricity. It'd be nice to have something like that. My next door neighbor's immaculate landscaping. Oof. They must spend a pretty penny on that every year. I just don't know if our lawn's cutting it. Maybe I'm going to have to start doing some, maybe the chemicals to make it look fancy. Maybe I'll just get the spray paint and spray paint the lawn green. Then they will know that we're good. You ever grumble about other stuff? My husband just wasn't the guy I thought he was when we got married. That other guy at the library really listens to me. Maybe I should hang out with him some more. Maybe he can give me some pointers. Ever grumble about other stuff in life? I got too much homework. I got too many sports to attend. I got too much. But still not enough. There's something still missing. What I like to say is that's your God-shaped hole that's in your heart. The God-shaped hole in your heart. And it's never going to be filled by anything that you and I put in it. Whether it's people, money, possessions, or even bread in the middle of the wilderness when we are starving. Not going to be enough. That's the lesson that God is trying to get through to the thick-skulled people that he calls his own. That's what he's trying to get through to us still today. Filling that God-shaped hole. That might even look like that little manger crash, that little house. Well, today, what does Moses and God have up their sleeve? At the very end of our reading for today, we find out that God gives them what they ask for. They want meat, they want bread, but he gives them in a very different way. He says that in the evening, quail are going to all of a sudden start gathering around. What's quail? Anybody? They're a bird. They're like a weird-looking bird. They probably taste great. But God, in his wisdom, assembled all these birds. They're just sitting there waiting to be eaten. And he gives them, they don't even have to hunt for them. And then in the morning, something even cooler happens. And it's a pun because it's dew-like. It's cool. In the cool of the morning, just like it was in the Garden of Eden, when they wake up, when the dew and the frost comes off, they find this flaky, sweet, honey-type bread. And they call it manna. And I love that. If you read on in Scripture, they call this weird bread manna. It's a miraculous bread, and it gives them what they need. It calls them manna, but if you look on the original language that the Old Testament book of Exodus was written, they end up saying something really kind of a funny play on words. They first ask Moses, what is this, right? Wouldn't you ask that if you woke up in your morning and you saw bread all over your lawn? It's like, what's my neighbor up to now? That dog sure brought the new food over here. They ask, what is it? In Hebrew, that phrase, what is it, means manhu. And Moses tells them it's manna. Manu, manna. And it's almost as if our Lord has a sense of humor. That in the midst of their grumbling, in the midst of a near-death experience, God still has a sense of humor. And I think that's important for us to remember today. When we have those grumbling moments of the rest of our lives, when we're in the middle of the desert, when we feel like nothing's going right, God has a sense of humor. He gives us not what we want, but what we need. They were looking for meat pots. They were looking for the banquet foods that they could have had in Egypt, but God gives them something to eat, but not anything that they could even guess. When we're looking for something good from life, from something good from God, God has a sense of humor. He will give you just that, but something even better that you never were expecting. Now, that isn't just a promise. We're not going to say God always does that. God doesn't always give good things to people just because you believe in him. But he does it out of his own love to remind us that it's not us making the decisions. It's him. He is the Lord, not you. Not me, not us. And when we think about that for us as a story today, it reminds us about that little experiment that we just had with our youth. Assembling a ragtag bunch of pieces of bread together. In a way, that's a good way of describing all of us. We all look different. We all have different talents. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have various levels of education. We all have different clothes. We all have different shapes and sizes. But what Paul tells us, what this example of this one loaf tells us, is that when we acknowledge those differences, rather than grumbling about them, we put our heads together, we can make something useful. We can make a house of bread. Now, ironically, that same biblical language of Hebrew in the Old Testament is what the name of this church is. Bethlehem. Bethlehem of course, is the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And it was the birthplace of King David before him. Now, you could say that there's a lot of bakeries there, but they called this place Bethlehem, Beit Lehem in Hebrew, the house of bread. And another, if you know the Jewish people, they say L'chaim, in a celebration. What does that word mean? To life. And when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he is the lehem lehayim. It's kind of a funny play on words again. Lehem lehayim. Now you just knew Hebrew. We are the house of bread today. We are not just Bethlehem Lutheran Church, but we are God's house. We are various members of it. Some of us are beams that hold the structure together, the big prominent members of the church. We are the landscaping. We are the roof. And when we stop grumbling, when we ever have grumblings, so whenever we stop to think we need something more and realize what we already have here, that's when the house starts to take shape. So today, that same sense of humor that our Lord tells us is to be weary of the lighter moments in life. One of the things I like about the story is it reminds me that not only does God not abandon us when we're wandering, but he doesn't abandon our sense of humor either. In fact, I think God knows that it's those light moments that get us through the hard times of grumbling. It's the giggles of a child, the sound of a baby laughing, a shared joke among friends, the times when family gets so silly at the dinner table that we're just howling with laughter. God's instilling this same sense of humor by giving them this bread from heaven. These moments, the light and flaky and sweet manna of the morning dew, remind us that even in the midst of the wilderness, joy can still be found. And it's when we work together that we make joy real, because we've made Jesus real. Today we call ourselves the house of bread, because it is here that our Lord comes down from heaven for you. Today is a great day to worship, because this year celebrates our 115th year of existence. Bethlehem Lutheran Church started here in Wales in 1906. And ever since then, the last 115 years, people, whether they spoke English or German or Welsh, have found this to be a house of worship and a house of bread, meaning that they could be filled. That is my hope and joy for you today, that you can be filled with some good nugget of grace today. People have walked through the doors of our church hurting, crying, depressed, anxious. There's been people that have been walking through our church doors that have lost a loved one. There's been people that have lost their home, their livelihood. What they have found was that they have been fed here, not by necessarily a good word from a pastor, but the good word from our Lord. In our house of bread that we call Bethlehem, and in any place, we know that God is here for you. He doesn't just give us bread in the morning. He feeds us every single day with a word that says, you are loved no matter what. You are forgiven no matter how bad you think you've messed up. No matter how much you've grumbled, I'm going to cover over it with something even better. For you today, you don't just get a piece of French bread. You get the very bread of life here, where we receive what Jesus calls his very body. This is my body, Jesus says, and is means is. What you receive today from this altar, like you do every time we gather, is the bread of heaven made for you that assures you of God's grace, his love, and forgiveness. That covers over every single thing that we could even want. And that's where we can find ultimate joy. And I hope that today is the start of many more days of joy for you. I hope that this place is a place that allows you to experience that joy because of Jesus. That you can be able to laugh and be silly together, that you can have inside jokes to tell each other, that you can let your pastor let his hair down and allow himself to be goofy with you. And not that we take ourselves so seriously that when the manna is at our feet, that we wrinkle our noses with suspicion. When we are in our wilderness times, when we haven't made budget in months, or when a beloved member of the church dies, when a beloved couple of the church divorces, when a teenager becomes addicted to drugs, when the roof springs a leak and mold is discovered in the basement, even then we know that God is going to send down manna. It's always just enough to get through the day. And then we've learned that really that's all we need. Enough to get through the day. And we know right where to find that just enough. In that little bit of bread, in that little sip of wine that reminds us that this is what gives life to the world. You don't have to ask, like the Israelites, what is it? You know exactly what this is. This is God with you in the flesh, in the wilderness, at this table. We have a God who tickles our funny bones when we want to take ourselves so seriously. He humbles us by having us kneel to this altar where we think it's just bread and wine, but it's so much more. And when we doubt in our lives when God is really there, or if we wonder if God actually cares, our Holy One reminds us that he has already trekked through those desert places of doubt. And he tosses manna upon the ground, just enough for the day. We call those breadcrumbs of grace, so that we can find our way and make it through one more day with our eyes still on our Savior. So today, remember, you and I are a house of bread together, where we can join together in unity, be useful, and be something that not only we can be fed by our Savior, but to feed each other. When we do that, Jesus will be present. Not just here, but wherever you go. So taste and see that the Lord is good in this house of bread. Amen.